welcome to the Robin and Judy Show. I'm your co-host, Robin Vandermeerva, coming to you from Dallas, Texas.
And I'm Judy Hasnack, coming to you from Seattle, Washington. On today's topic, Robin, we're going to be talking about perfecting your persona.
Persona. You say persona, I say persona. I cannot ever figure out which way we're supposed to say that word.
We've heard it both ways. And wouldn't you think we'd want to have it correct for our call?
Well, I mean, it's Latin. What do we know what the Romans used to say, you know?
That is so true. I'm going to say persona.
Well, and I'll say persona, and somewhere down the line, we'll just get it to work. I'm sure we will.
So let's get started with it.
All right. Sounds good to me. You know, Judy, I was taking a look at the wiki definition that online of persona or persona, depending how you say that, and found it was really interesting. They say in the study of communication, a persona is a term that's given to describe the versions of ourself that all of us possess. In other words, we have kind of different versions of ourself, and that we select those particular versions according to the desired impression that we want to create when we interact with other people. And I thought, you know, that is just so concisely said, but that's exactly what we do. Is depending where we are or who we're interacting with, we have this ability to reach in and pull out a particular version of ourselves. Some are, you know, very similar to others, and then there's, you know, for me it might be the when I'm home by myself and Hank's having to travel for work, I might be having a pint of ice cream with a spoon and eating like a pig woman or something because nobody's around and I can get away with that, you know. But then there's your go-to-church persona, you know, that's completely different. And there's your sitting at a fine dining restaurant persona, which is completely different. So we all...
McDonald's.
Exactly. They're the scold your children at home persona and your scold your children in public persona for some people.
Isn't that an interesting concept, though? I would have never even gone down that trail of thought. But each of us are so unique and we have so many different sides to our personalities.
And we really do. And when it comes to marketing our business, it's all about perfecting your persona that you use in business. There's versions of ourselves that may not work as well in business. If you're a person who likes to go out on a Friday night and go out and party with your friends and go clubbing until 3 in the morning, that may work really well for your social persona, but it may not work so well for your business side. And so if you're one who likes to wear lampshades on their head after the party, you might want to make sure that to maybe leave that out of your biography for your business overview, unless that happens to be your particular kind of niche. You know, everybody has a personality that's a little unique that they may use in business. I always think of the rich jerk. Anybody that's been online for any length of time knows that there was a fellow for a long time, nobody knew who it was, and his whole thing was this persona of the rich jerk. I'm rich, you're not, you know, and that was very standoffish and very, you know, just really brusque, but that was the persona that he developed for that particular marketing campaign, and it was a phenomenal success. And so tonight we want to talk about ways that we can kind of put our best foot forward and design the persona that we need to use in business, and for each person that's a little bit different. But I think, Judy, you and I can have a little fun with that as we kind of design our own on the fly here. But everybody should have a piece of paper and a pen, and there's some things you want to jot down. And you'll actually want to take a little time to develop the kind of information that you want to have available about yourself and kind of decide who you are. I don't want to say who you want to be because we're not creating a fictional character here, but... But we're just designing our best business persona. And it starts with our story. You know, what makes us different? Everybody has a story. Where do we come from? What have we done in the past that's interesting or intriguing or different than what other people have done before? And Judy, you have one of the most fascinating, colorful backgrounds just in your life experiences than most people I've ever met. And I got to tell people who don't already know you, and I hope you don't mind me sharing it. I'm not even going to ask you if I can, because I just think it's so fascinating. And that is, you at one time were a wing walker.
That is correct.
Now, for people who may not be old enough to know what a wing walker was, we want to make sure that we separate that from the street walker. There's two different. I don't want anybody to misunderstand what I'm saying here. But you literally walked on the wings of airplanes in air shows, didn't you?
I did.
I just think
this is so interesting to me, because I often kid with people, because that is what people remember me for. And it was such a short period in my life. It was 1 year out of my whole entire lifetime. But people remember acts of craziness, for lack of a better word. A person can do wondrous things all throughout their lifetime and go totally unnoticed. But walk out on the wing of a biplane, and people will remember
forget.
That forever.
But it's because, Judy, I don't know anybody else who's ever done that. And I think there must be so few of you out there that it's really fascinating to the rest of us that we actually get to know somebody who did something that I happen to think is just one of the coolest things in the world. It just always looks, I don't know if I could do that, but I just think it's the most interesting thing that you actually stand on the wing of a plane in air. I mean, I might do that and pose for a photograph on the ground, but. So I think that becomes a really interesting part of your background story, just because it is so unique. But it also then attracts another segment of the population to you, and that can be people who pilot airplanes, or people who are involved in air shows, or people who, you know, have that kind of a connection will definitely be drawn to you, just because it's something, you know, that it's more of an exclusive club, and it's just one more segment of the population that is looking to you rather than other people because they have a connection with you. And I just think that's fascinating. But you also were involved in dog show judging, wasn't it?
Correct.
That I find really interesting, especially with all the new television programs about, you know, the kennel shows and things like that. And again, I've never known anybody who did that, and I think that is really interesting. And so now that, if you use that as part of your background story, brings to you yet another segment of the population, separate from, you know, people that you know, I might attract in my background story, because it's completely different. So people who love dogs, which is what, like 99% of the population out there, but you have a connection there. And you also did, was it pet photography or just standard photography or both?
No, we had a pet portrait studio for 9 years where we did domestic pets and exotics both. That came from my interest in photography, but also I was a vet tech for many, many years, and in doing that, we worked with a lot of the different, not just dogs and cats and bunnies. We also had tarantulas and boa constrictors,
no.
And tigers, and it was really interesting. I mean, you never knew what each day was going to bring. But that interest led me to that, because you can incorporate, I know it, like, for instance, if I'm taking a photograph of a dog or a horse, I used to show both. So I know when they look good. And I think a lot of photographers did not have that advantage. So you're so right, Robin. We can pull from all of that. Look at all the things you've done, being a fireman and being firewoman and being, you know, and you're investigating for fires and arson and going to court, the things that are things that most people wouldn't even dream of trying to do. And yet it led us to this. Isn't that interesting?
And when you draw those things into your personal background story, you know, to share with people, you don't want to share a lot of personal information, but when you start to share a little bit of that background, what it does is it draws people to you and you make connections. I make connections with firefighters around the world, literally, just because we share that little common bond. And so in marketing, especially with the advent of the Internet, that just changed everything. But it enables us to find a lot of other like-minded people who also happen to have an interest in owning their own business. So everybody should begin to kind of jot down notes about their background, what they've done for a living, what kind of life experiences they've had, things that are little, you know, separate you from the next person. Now, obviously, you know, there may be some things that people don't want to reveal about their backgrounds, and you have to be very selective because you have to remember, again, you're building a persona that should attract people and not necessarily turn them off. You know, in other words, I've seen people's bios on their Facebook pages or on their About Me pages in their company websites, and they really share just a tad bit too much. You know, most of the world doesn't need to know that their last divorce was super messy and that their spouse left for another, you know, and ran off with a secretary, and how much anger and resentment you're still dealing with over that. You know? You know, that kind of thing you need to leave out probably, you know. But I've seen that. And so we do want to be a little selective, and we want to be selective about, you know, how much personal information. There's still a lot of strange things out there on the Internet and strange people. And so you don't necessarily want to reveal your Social Security number and your date of birth and, you know, any personal, really personal information sometimes. But going back to pulling from your background, what you do for a living and what you've done for a living before and where you've been and where you've come from, all the things that make us unique, because being unique is the only way that we stand out from the whole sea of other business marketers out there.
And don't you think, Robin, that it pulls, when you're going back through and thinking about the things that you've accomplished or that you were interested in or that you really, really loved, and it took you down that career path, that to me is a great way to find your passion. So many people they don't think they have a passion for the industry. They can't really narrow down, well, what is it that I'm really passionate about? Revisit your career choices, and that's going to show you a lot about yourself.
That's a really good thing. Even hobbies, you know, you take a look at the kind of hobbies. I mean, you know, Western horse riding was always my thing. I love that. I loved that since I was a little girl. And, you know, again, that draws to me then another group of people. I love to play acoustic guitar. And you know, at some time in my life, that actually was a source of income for me. As meager as it was, a very much needed source of income for me. And so, you know, that's another way that I connect. But those are things that I was very passionate about. So, you know, as we start to bring those things into creating our persona and a lot of the rest of what we're going to talk about here in a little bit, this information is what we put on our About Me pages. If we are in network marketing and we use a company replicated website, there's always an About Me page. Or on Facebook program pages, for example, there's a place for About Us and our interests. These are the places that we start to put this information because, again, it's a way of like sending up little flags to attract the attention of other like-minded people. And it's just a really good exercise to go through and start to get very familiar with. It's not the same as bragging about all your accomplishments. I mean, there's a lot of marketers that go on and on about the expensive exotic car they drive and how many square feet their house has, and you know, but that's not necessarily what we're talking about here. We're talking about the person behind our name, because people want to trust us and they want to get to know us, and sharing a little bit of information is one way to do that. So that's kind of our point about background story. Pull out where you've been and where you've come from. Now there's another segment of that, and that's what I like to call the personal stuff. What are your favorite sports, your favorite television shows, your favorite books, your favorite movies? Do you have children? Do you have eclectic taste in music? You know, what kind of pets do you have? Those kinds of things start to connect us. Judy, I know you've got books and music. I know there's things that you have that I know about you that are very interesting. some of the books that you, especially your business books, your list of business books that you recommend is humongous.
Well, you know, after 20 years, you sort of get a nice library.
That's right. You do. But all of those things, again, attract when we share that information with people, especially I love Facebook for that because there's actually a place where you can put that kind of information in. You know, what are your favorite shows, your favorite books? And the reason that a social networking site puts places in for that very information is so that other like-minded people can find each other. If you have an interest in, you know, Beethoven music, you literally could go to Facebook and put that term in the search engine, and you will find people who have that word in their profile. If you want to find people who are moms who stay at home, you can put that information in a search engine at Facebook or any other social networking site or Twitter, and you can find people with like-minded interest. And so that's really why the social networking does that, because it does exactly what we want it to do. It attracts to us people who have similar interest. So, for example, if I'm on Facebook and I get a connection from Joe Smith who wants to connect with me as a friend, first thing I'm going to do is go take a look at his profile. And one of the things that I'm going to look for are what kind of interest that he has. Besides business interest, do we happen to like some of the same shows, or find a place to connect where you can write back and say, hey, you know, I see you like classical music. Great, so do I. You know, that's why it's there, and that's what we want. So start to write down on your list. Everybody should write down what are their favorite, if you have a favorite sports team. I am a Dallas Cowboys fan. So that's one of the things that's on my list. Some of my top-rated books on my list. Everybody should make a little list of their favorite movies, whether or not they have children, how many children they have. You shouldn't have to write that down, obviously, but you might have to write down their ages if you don't remember. Let me see. Johnny is 12, 13. 12. Oh, 12. He will be 13. That's what it is. I've met an awful lot of people that way. Music, your pets. Write those things down as your personal stuff, what your favorites are. And then we move to one of my favorite sections of this exercise, and that is our flaws. I mean, we have to have flaws. Now, Judy, I know you don't have any. You've got to dig really, really deep to try and find some. There's somebody like there's somebody like me who has so many, but she just doesn't like to talk about any of them. I prefer pretending like I have none at all. That's the persona I like to show everybody. But the bottom line is, most people connect better with people who not only have flaws, but like to admit to a few of them. Now, that goes back to not necessarily telling everybody that on more than one occasion at the office party you've worn the lampshade on your head. I don't know if I'd share that so much in business, unless that happens to be the persona that you're marketing to. But, you know, there's things that we can tell about ourselves. For mine, it might be my addiction to caffeine in the morning. You know, I just refuse to start my day without exactly two cups of coffee. I don't need any the rest of the day, don't have to have any other caffeine the rest of the day. But by golly, do not try and have a civil conversation with me in the morning before I'm at least brewing my coffee.
And she means that.
I just need a little peace, a little quiet, and a cup of coffee, and I'm good to go. And I'm a morning person, but I need that coffee to kind of jumpstart my mind and my brain. And I savor that like some people savor a good glass of wine. But that's
one of my... make us real.
Exactly. Who can connect with somebody if they think they're super perfect? Which, I don't know, that's
because
never been my problem.
Isn't that just trying to just totally intimidate everyone?
Well, yeah, it does. And it makes people think, well, that person is successful because, you know, they just have it all together. More people relate when they read a story that, you know, this person had, you know, this, I think a lot of times of Kentucky Fried Chicken and Harlan Sanders, how many times he tried to sell his chicken recipe and was turned down. You know, now there's a guy that, according to everybody around him, had some flawed thinking in what he was trying to do. But you know, I love reading his story because there's a success at the end of that. And so, you know, if you think that someone is just successful because, oh, they had the right education or they were born into the right family or they just got really lucky, you know, it's real easy to dismiss it as just those things and say, well, I can't do that because. But when we can see stories of real people, what we always call real people, I always like that as though anybody else doesn't qualify as a real person. You know, when we say real people, we mean people like us. You know, just your ordinary, I can't say average, but ordinary people who just have, you know, become extraordinarily successful, even in spite of their flaws.
I think that's probably the key to it. I think it is in spite of. I think that's what creates who we are.
And using that as part of our persona in marketing is just really important. You know, as we always try and draft out these About Me pages and to make ourselves sound the same way we would if we were presenting a resume, you know, for a new job. We want to put our best foot forward and look as polished as humanly possible. But in business marketing, it helps to be able to admit to a few flaws. I'm afraid my About Me page would be really long if I went into all of mine. You know, I don't want to go over the top there, but, you know, there's just, it's good to put some of those in. You know, it might be for somebody, it might be how they hate to do exercise or how they're really bad at sports or some way that you kind of poke a little fun at yourself and bring out a little humor, you know. Some people have a weakness for certain foods. It can be a lot of different things. If for some people, it can be that they had tried some business entities before and were not successful. I think that one, that's a card you have to play carefully. I certainly think it's very difficult for anyone to take you seriously if you talk about the 3,722 businesses that you've tried and not done well at. You know, there might be a limit there to what you want to do. But having a flaw or two or three or four, I should say sharing a flaw or two or three or four, is just important to do that.
But not too many. You're so right, because you don't want your persona to be somebody that someone would look down on. In other words, that they would think, oh, gee, I don't think I would want to ever be in business with this type of a person. You know, it's fine that we're real. I think that's critical to be a real person. But we still, in the back of our minds, always keep in mind that people are still looking up to you for good reason.
And that's exactly the point. So everybody should think about what you might consider some minor flaws that you have that you wouldn't mind sharing with people. That's something that you can poke a little fun at with yourself. I think that's really important, and that should go down on the list that you're making right now as you start to craft your business persona. The other section, the last section of that, is quirks and pet peeves, things that, again, separate you from everybody out there, things that, and they should be mild, but, you know, we're not saying that you need to, you know, step into the heavy political arena here. But it could be something mild like certain sports teams that have rivalries. I said I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. So that can be if I wanted to say the Washington Redskins, you know, was one of our top rivals, then I could put that under one of my quirks was I was just not a fan of the Washington Redskins. I could say if I hated reality shows, maybe that would be on my list, and I could tell people, man, I just can't stand these reality shows. You know, it doesn't have to be that heavy language, but what you're doing is you create a little bit of attraction, even if it's in the negative form, because you'll get people that will, especially if you do some blogging or some Facebook posting about things like that, you'll get some people that will interact with you on the basis of the fact that they're polar opposites to what some of your little pet peeves are. Again, you don't want them to be really radical. Although some controversy does stir up more attraction marketing sometimes, but it could be I'm just trying to think of another one. Oh, there's a lot of people that talk about not wanting to watch television at all. Now, I'm one of the group that uses television as a relaxation tool in the evening, but there's other people that are firmly against. They just absolutely think television is a complete waste of time. So these little quirks and pet peeves are small, little, minor things, but they actually tend to polarize people, but they still attract people even from the negative, not just people who agree with you, but also people who agree with you, disagree with you. Does that make sense, Judy? I'm not saying, sure, I'm saying that the way that I want it to come out.
No, it absolutely does. And just be prepared, if it is going to be a polar opposite, to not take it seriously.
Exactly.
We don't want to get into a big head fight here over this. After all, it's just a pet peeve.
That's right.
It's not going to change the world, but so many times people love to share their pet peeves as well. Somebody might mention to me that they just, it drives them crazy to stand in line and have somebody go in front of them that only has one eye. Okay.
Good example.
For me, I'm just the opposite. I'm always asking people, would you like to go ahead of me, when I have a whole cart?
That's because you are so nice.
You see? But there's a lot of people, it drives them crazy. They think, well, I waited my turn, and they need to wait theirs. So it can go both ways.
Oh, my gosh.
But it will attract. It will attract a reaction, and that is what we're trying to do. We are trying to attract ourselves to the general public.
And there's
lots of ways to do that.
But you also want to do that so that you're not trying to please everybody, because you can't.
Oh, darn.
Yes, Miss Blue.
Yes.
Now, see, there's a difference between liking everybody and trying to please everybody. Because in marketing and business, you can't please everybody. When you're trying to attract your customers, and I know you know exactly what I'm talking about, you can't have such a shotgun approach in your marketing that you're trying to bring in everybody. What you're trying to do is attract people who are a good fit for your product, your service, or your business, and that's it. And not everybody is going to meet that criteria. And so there's no point in trying to stretch yourself with a persona that's so broad that you're going to attract people who ultimately are not the right fit for what it is that you're trying to sell. And so that's kind of what I mean about not trying to please everybody. You really have to find your niche, your market, and play to that market. And one of the ways that you can do that is having this persona already created, fleshed out, polished up, perfected. And it works whether you're online, and it works offline. You know, those of you who like to still do person-to-person marketing, which I think, you know, all of us at some point, we really do, don't we, Judy? I mean, we bump into people, or we run into somebody that says, hey, you know, what do you do these days, or what are you up to these days? It's helpful to have your persona so nailed down and so in your mind that you know exactly how to weave some of these in through your conversations. It's just as effective offline as it is online, but it's something that most of us don't spend enough time trying to create. We know who we are, but trying to get that across in message form to complete strangers takes a little bit of time to do, and that's why everybody should work on those things. You can actually get it to the point where you create a handle for yourself, a title for yourself. And one of the best examples I can give you of that everybody can recognize is Larry the Cable Guy. Now, I don't know about you, Judy. I don't know Larry's last name. You know?
No, I don't.
I mean, everybody knows Larry the Cable Guy. And there's people in business, in marketing, that's their thing. They've created a handle, so to speak. The Cable Guy is Larry's handle that identifies him. Now, I was playing with one for us, Judy. I mean, you and I could do something like two great crazy gals making money and having fun, you know? That pretty well sums it up, doesn't it? But, I mean, everybody. You could have Bob the travel guy. You know, you could have Joe the printer. You could have Thomas the truck driver. I mean, there's that can actually, what you do for a living or something unique about you can become part of your persona. That's actually how people get to know you. When you get this down so well that everything that you can put as part of your persona just describes a recognizable figure, you can do this. One of the best examples online, I've known a guy for a number of years who goes under the moniker of Bob the Teacher. He was always a teacher until he started doing his own business on the side, and now that's what he does full time, and he's no longer a teacher. But his handle is Bob the Teacher. And everybody that knows him knows it's Bob the Teacher, and I would venture to say 90% of them don't know what his last name is.
I don't, and I follow his teachings, and I don't have a clue what his last name is.
But
I get email every day from Bob the Teacher.
That's right. But he's very successful. He makes mm-hmm. an awful lot of money, and he did it because he separated himself from everybody out there by calling himself Bob the Teacher. It's a great business technique to use. And so that's something else. Not everybody has that. I could use Robin the firefighter, but because I've been retired for so many years, I kind of hate to do that. You know, if I was still a firefighter, I definitely would, just because it's unique and something very different. Judy the wing walker, I think, sounds spectacular.
And I was thinking just the opposite. I was thinking, I really don't want people knowing that.
Too late. The cat's out of the bag. I just think it's fabulous.
Thanks, Robin.
Hey, what are good friends for?
But that's true.
I just think.
But, you know, but I did use that in sort of that sense quite some time ago. I used it for an advertising campaign, and I had a picture of me on the wing, and I it was something in a bold headline that said something about the fact that don't be afraid to take a chance. I did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or something, I can't remember. But
uh-huh.
I had great results with it. So
because
a handle
it's
is
so,
everything.
It's
and
it,
what fun
it,
for
it
us
does.
To come up with our own handles.
It,
this could just be great fun.
Well, and you know, I think it'll be a lot of fun to hear what some people have come up
uh-huh.
with. And sometimes it's helpful to have someone else help you create yours because they see you in a different way, which could be a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know if I'd want somebody to do mine for me or not. Oh, dear. But it's really part of this whole business process that really helps identify why people would want to do business with you and not one of thousands of other people out there. By creating your persona, getting it down on paper, committing it to memory, using it in your About Me pages, people can understand more about you. They feel like they know you better, and when people know you better, they're more apt to do business with you than with a stranger. So that's kind of our story for tonight, and I hope everybody has a lot of fun with this exercise. I love to hear some comments and feedback like you, Judy, especially people that have put together their handles. I'd love to hear more about people's background stories, where they've come from, how they're different than everybody else. I'd love to see a lot of comments about that. So hopefully we'll get some of that good feedback, and I think it'd be very, very interesting to see down the road, don't you think?
I can't wait. It's going to be worth the price of admission.
I still think two crazy gals just sums it right up. Oh, my gosh. Well, Judy, it's been fun as always. Thank you very much for all that you've added to the conversation tonight because it's always enjoyable when you do.
My and pleasure.
I hope everybody joins us again for another cool, crazy conversation with Robin and Judy. In the meantime, we're going to call it a day at the moment, but we look forward to having everybody join us on another day and another time. Take care. Thanks so much, Judy.
You're
been
welcome.
Fun.
Bye,
all right,
everybody.
Talk to you soon.